What is your name?
Brett Johnson. Brett William Johnson. I'm named after the Williams. One of those rowdy William guys out there.
Brett William, on the left.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think about the Areopagus class that's moved to Nevada now?
Oh, yeah, I like the Areopagus class. And I did, like I said, recently I listened to the Love One and learned about the Agape and the Philos, and I guess it's erotic, I don't know how to say it.
Erotio.
And then all the different types of love that there is. And you think, well, what different types of love? You know, it's kind of strange. And you think, well, okay, you know, there's a love for your mom and your dad, and there's a love for your wife. You got a love for your animal, you know, and those are all different. Mm-hmm. And then you got love for, like, nature, and you have love for God, and just love for all kinds of different things. I can't think of any more, but I was talking about your name means the love of horses, right? Mm-hmm. So, Phillips. And then Adelphia, you know, is from the same womb. Or Adelphi.
Adelphos.
And then that's a big deal because we refer to people as brothers in the world. Mm-hmm. But that's an important word because it lets us know that we're from the same womb, that it really was a real brother from a bloodline. So that was cool. And then you think about Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love, I guess, mm-hmm. from the same womb.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
So, that was a place named in Greece, too, I think,
yeah,
right?
Philadelphia. That's one of the churches, Philadelphia.
Yeah. So,
churches of Asia.
Yeah, I learned all about that. And
what did you learn 10 years ago when you came to the class? Tell us about what happened when you came to the Areopagus class the first time when Bill invited you to the class and you thought you would come and try to teach me something.
That's true. And I felt like I could, too, maybe. So
you read the Bible how many times?
I think at that time I'd read it 20, maybe 28, I don't know, front to back. Mm-hmm. And I lived out in this shack in Oildale on Hughes Road by Trout's, and I ended up there because my brother was supposed to be my roommate, and he ended up, you know, backing out on me. So I ended up in this place all by myself, kind of like a bunch of drug addicts and scumbags, you know. But some of them were nice, you know. I did find some compassion out there from those people. They were nice to me, but it really wasn't my place to be, for sure. But I learned right then that was where everything changed. And like some of the stuff I'm telling you might just sound outlandish, what I'm going to tell you. But I had my dog there, you know, my princess dog, and she's my little black pup, and I loved her, and she's like my only friend. And in this place, it seemed like I was being tortured. No, seriously, I could not sleep. I was up all night, scared, hearing noises and all kinds of stuff. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I was actually, I know what I was doing. I was trying to speak in tongues, okay? And so I had heard about this tongues, right? I was like, okay, well, I'm going to speak in tongues because that's how you get, you know, you edify yourself. You get closer to God. And then when I get closer to God, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to lift myself up. And so it seemed reasonable. And so I started just learning a lot about the Bible. And then I learned that the tongues were not good, that I actually brought bad spirits in. And in a very dark room, like as dark as entire. I think the darkest I've ever seen is entire. Okay? That dark. I think a little, maybe not as dark as that, but really close. I actually seen a black shadow come in my room. Okay? This is crazy. And maybe I was a hallucinating, I don't know. But there's a black shadow that came in my room, a silhouette of a human.
This is when you were trying to speak in tongues.
Yes. I'd go in the shower and speak in tongues. I'd go everywhere. Wherever I go, I try to speak in tongues, right? I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just trying to speak in tongues because I'm just trying to do, through self-edification, somehow I'm going to get better. You know, I'm going to do good. And I'm going to praise the Lord and everything, and He's going to be happy with me, you know, and everything's going to get better. So, but what happened is that I met all these demonic spirits. I mean, like super bad ones. And it was terrifying. And there was like a dark shadow at the end of my bed in a dark room with no lights. There was no lights in my place at night, so it was dark. And I kind of lived next. It was one of those houses that they split it in half, and one person lives in one person lives in another.
Duplex.
And yeah, I guess it wasn't even really a duplex, but yeah. And so a lot of the windows weren't there, you know. And so I didn't have a lot of any natural light or street lights or anything. And my son, he would come over every now and then on the weekends. And I mean, his mother didn't know I lived over there. She probably would have hated it. She would not want him over there. But he would tell people about how his dad prays at the end of the bed. You know, and got on his knees. He would trip on that. Joe would. Go, yeah, my dad, he gets in by the bed and prays. And he didn't know I seen all them bad spirits. You know, I was praying to get away from them spirits. You mean?
This is when you started reading the Bible.
Yeah. After all this happened, I had to read the Bible. I had to read it. I don't know what it was. I woke up every single day and cried. Like, my world was a disaster. Like, I could not barely even... I had to walk out in my yard and sit in a lawn chair and cry. And then read the Bible. And then I'd cry and I'd read the Bible. And I got better and better and better. And all those dark shadows and stuff went away. And I quit doing tongue stuff and realized it wasn't good. It was not the way to go. But I was confused. I was just like, I don't really... Who's right and who's wrong in this thing? Who is telling the truth? Man, I'm thinking Satan did a good job of making sure we don't know anything about the Lord. You know? And so, and here I am, uneducated, you know, never read the Bible. And my grandpa gave us a Bible. It was from 1930s. It was a really cool Bible, kind of a story Bible, and for grown-ups. And I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. I thought it was cool because my grandpa, great-grandpa gave it to me. Well, I didn't remember the man, but it was just cool that I was had it in my hands and he had it too, you know. And somehow it got to me, and I was going to make the best use out of it I could. And so I just kept reading and reading and reading, and I got through it once, and I was like, you know, I'm going to start over. And I read it again. I was like, you know, I learned a lot more this time than I did last time. And so I read it again. And it kept building and building and building. By the time I got to the church, the church was a joke almost to me. It was like, oh, you're talking about that. You left out this, and this, and you should have talked about that. What's going on over here, man?
You mean, should get up and listen to
Roger or any of those guys, and they were all good. Those guys are good speakers, man. And they can dazzle you, and they can make you feel, you know, like, hey, man, I want to go serve the Lord. And I'm not saying I didn't get that from them, but I just got, you know, like, you know.
You knew what they were going to say before they said it.
Yeah, their message was diluted to me almost because I had read it so much. And then I started realizing, like, some politics of the church and everything. And then I met Bill Hawkins, the usher. And, like, I wanted to be an usher, but I didn't really think they'd let me be an usher, you know. I didn't know, you know what I mean? But Bill got me to be an usher somehow. And I still have the little usher thing, you know. And I was really proud to be an usher, man. I was like, man, you know, I kind of moved up here, you know. I'm like an usher now, you know. Like, I'm like, doing a little better, you know. So, and then he said, well, hey, there's this guy. You should go to his class, Brad. You should go to his class every day. And he's always telling me, go to his class, go to his class. And I'm like, well, okay. He's really smart, huh? Oh, yeah, he's real smart. You know, he knows it, man. He can tell you. He can answer some stuff for you. And I said, okay, well, he better be because I got my stuff down now, you know. And so I went in to see Jim in this little building out there. I guess you were in the class in the big sanctuary, and they moved you right then.
Yes.
To the class where you're at now.
The Briar Patch.
Yeah. And let's see. I went out there and he had an IV in. You lost your class because you went to the hospital or something.
Oh, yeah. That was the first time.
Oh, they didn't like you. I think you said that they didn't. Your class was got too big in there. And then also, they kind of wanted to get you out into their place.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Because I was doing three classes.
They keep jumping you around.
From one class to the other. And I had prostate cancer surgery.
Okay, is that what happened?
I was gone for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, is that what happened right then?
Yeah, okay, I was gone for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then they did kind of like
in the hospital.
Yeah. So I came and met Jim the first time, and he had the IV in. And I was like, oh, no wonder God sent me here. They need me to replace this guy. He's going to die on me in here, man. He's going to die, and I got to replace him. You know, no wonder I'm here is because I'm perfect timing. God sent me in the right place at the right time. Look, I mean, this guy is on his one leg. You know, he's wheeling around an IV preaching. And I was like, well, that's really cool that he's doing that. You know, I knew he was committed. But at the same time, I was thinking I was there to replace Jim. You know, like, that's how arrogant I was. So I started talking to Jim, and I think I even told you. Hey, it's okay, man. It's real. I can do
now
your class.
I can teach you something. You know, I mean, I read the Bible.
I go, I can teach this class. I go, you know, I have to learn how to do it, but I go, I'm going to be able to do it, and it's not going to be a problem for me. I'm going to be able to just get through this baby, I mean. And so, forever, like, you know, not forever, but for like the first year, it was like,
Well, about 6 months you were in the class, you came to me and you said, I don't know anything about the Bible.
Yeah, is that how long it was, 6 months? Okay.
About 6 months. Then you said, I don't really know anything. I thought I knew everything.
I thought I knew a lot more than I did.
Because I can say what the preacher's going to say before they say it, and you...
Yeah, then I met you.
Blowing me away, I realized I don't know anything.
So, yeah, I was blown away by you big time, and your information, and that's when it kind of all started to sitting in, and then it just took me... It's like I started healing. It's like you've healed my mind. It's like he had God's word, and he learned God's word so well, and he spoke it out to people so well that when I listened to it, it like healed my brain. You know what I mean? Because I'm from
your whole system of theology and thinking completely changed.
All I've done since I've been in this class is heal.
I mean everything.
Seriously, I mean I've had some stops, places where I stopped, but all I've done is heal, and like my life was like. I have good family in some way. I mean, they're financially responsible and all that, and they're good people, and I love them, and they've been there for me. But we've got a dysfunctional family. It's very dysfunctional. And I grew up that way, and it's highly stressful. And so I think I was mentally ill. I think I was a mentally ill person. I wasn't like, you know, where I was going to go out and kill people or something like that, but I was just like on the edge a lot and couldn't think things through like I should. And so, it's hard to get through that because you don't know if you're crazy or not.
The Word of God heals you.
And He healed me up, man. I just kept reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and I healed up. My brain got better and better. And then, like, my brain was healed up so much that there was a difference between me and other people. It was like, I knew some stuff they didn't. And they didn't really want to know what I knew. But it was okay, because I was happy, because I was better. You know what I mean? And so, to me, it was like, it was a more inward thing. It was like, well, that was nice, you know? And I didn't really give back. I didn't really give back. But people didn't want to hear what I had to say. And, like, who am I to tell you? But you go figure out your own stuff, you know what I mean? That's the way my attitude was.
What about church history?
And yeah, well, the church history, it helped me a lot. It's like the best courses you can take, you know, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to learn overall what really went on, then church history is where it's at.
That's where it's unconfused, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot less confusion because then I could start connecting dots. Okay, in this time period, this happened. And this time period, this happened. And, you know, this is connected to this.
Right.
And these people aren't connected here. These people are really, they act like they're connected, but they're not. You know, these Catholic people, they're like, they're lying. You know what I mean? They can say whatever they want, but...
Sure.
Oh, yeah, the chart?
Yeah, the chart.
Right. Oh, yeah, so yeah, you have the infant baptism right here, the persecution act, you have the indulgences, purgatory, saint image worship. You have the division, which is transubstantiation. Well, I guess that's a little farther, where the Greek and the Romans divide, and the one actually believe that the Eucharist is actually, you're actually drinking Jesus' blood, and the wafer is the skin. Where we're just actually, we don't take it literally, it's just a symbolic thing. So those two branches right there, that's a big deal because they couldn't even agree as a church. You know what I mean? So they had to go to.
The truth always came.
Yeah. Well, down at the bottom, we're here.
Yeah.
So you got.
Christianity is always alive.
Yeah. So these guys right here are telling you the whole time that the church didn't start in 252 A.D. That it started on the Sea of Galilee because we already had our treasury, we already had the Lord's Supper, and so we know those three things had to happen before the church started. The church started when Peter was called out and he walked on the water. That's the day the church started. To them, it started in 252 A.D. with the church and state, and it's just a lie. So, and then you got the indulgences where you pay for stuff, and the saint image worship, and the regular confession, and you have all these different things that they did, and about every 100 years, they just tweak it. You know, a little more. You know?
This is good.
So, and then finally, up until we got the celibacy, I think they started backing off a little bit. You know, that was
that's a lot. That's when Mariolatry really began about that time.
In Maryland, right? No, not yet.
No, Mariolatry, where they started expanding the worship of Mary.
Oh, right.
It just got more and more precise and more literally idolatry. It became idolatry. Then they started praying to Mary and all of that. that's when all that happened on after that, up into the 1950s or so. All right. Now, has this Areopagus class helped you?
Yeah, and that's why I'm rewriting it, the whole thing. And let me tell you, since I've been writing it, I've had a lot of challenges, and I've had a lot of big blows in my life. This is one of them, the one I just told you about. Went to the emergency room, everything. And I was telling Tori, hey, you just wait before this book's over. I don't know if I'll even be alive, you know, because whenever you're doing God's work, man, Satan's coming after you big time. He's not messing around.
He never lays down. Read the book of Job. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so that's my little testimony.
Thank
Hope
you.
I didn't take up too much time.
I love you. I love you.
No.
That was good. Very good. That's what I've been wanting you to do for a long, long time, and you did it. All right.
I'm stuttering.
All right.
I never really know what that is.
Well, everybody's
challenges.
All right. We had 16 minutes of Brett. 16 good minutes. 16 minutes. Yes. Well, let's get into the study.